الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. So thus was Abu Ayyub Khalid radiallahu anhu. All his life he spent close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the inception of the Medinan period. He was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's host, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew his value. And he continued being in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's close proximity throughout Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's period in this world. Even on the occasion of Khaybar, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded Safiya radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, and when this nikah took place and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Safiya radiallahu anha, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu positioned himself at a certain point where he could guard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu his reasons for that, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is of young age and we just conquered her area and her people. So I hoped that she is sincere as we find, that I was nearby. If there was anything, that I could be nearby to defend you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rahimakallah Aba Ayyub, Rahimakallah Aba Ayyub. Allah's Nabi gave him du'as. My point is, yes, Safiya radiallahu anha is Ummul Mu'mineen, but see the closeness Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu enjoys in his relationship to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continued like this all his life, being close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'id bin Musayyib rahimahullah mentions, as quoted in Mukhtasar of Tariqh Dimashq, that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu one day removed something from the blessed beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi gave him du'as, La yusibuka su, ya Aba Ayyub. May Allah make it that no harm ever afflicts you, O Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. So this was his closeness in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would allow him to make such beautiful khidmat. And even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this transitory world to the afterlife, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu continued imparting for very long after that the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the goal and the effort and the sacrifice and the purpose of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Under the tafsir of Surah Baqarah, verse number 195, wherein Allah Ta'ala says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. If we just translate this, Allah Ta'ala says, do not cast yourself with your own hands to destruction, meaning don't destroy yourself. The reporter here is Aslam Abu Imran from the Kinda tribe. He says, we were striving in Allah's path in one area of Rome, and the Romans had come to us to attack with a huge army. And from our side, there were Sahaba radiallahu anhum to conquer and fight back. And the Amir was Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu, who was a Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the Muslims fought so valiantly and bravely that he penetrated the lines of the Romans. And he sacrificed and he fought with bravery. Few said to him, addressing him, saying, Subhanallah, yulqi biyadi ila tahluka. Look at this man, the way he's penetrating, he's going to destroy himself. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu afterwards gathered Sahaba and gathered the Tabi'een. And he said, people, wait, ayyuhan nas, you are misinterpreting this verse of the Quran. He says, this Quran was revealed about us. Ma'ashir al-Ansar, we the Ansar. When Allah gave victory to His deen, and many came into Islam, and we the Ansar who were there for deen from the initial stages of Medina Munawwara, and we felt that all our wealth, our time was utilized for Allah's deen. Now that deen has become so strong and is so stable, inna amwalana qadda'at, our farms, our businesses have been neglected. And Allah has given honor to deen, and there's so many others. So we felt, let us now take a back seat and now pay more attention to what we've been neglecting all along. And we felt, let others go forward and make the sacrifice. Quran reveals upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responding to our thought. Quran says, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Spend in Allah's way. Nay, sacrifice and give for Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ And don't take your own self to destruction. Don't destroy yourselves with your own hands. وَأَحْسِنُوا And continue doing good for Allah. Serving Allah with Allah consciousness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah loves those who give for Allah in a manner that they are conscious that Allah is seeing them and as though they can see Allah and they treat others in a manner that they love to be treated. So this verse says, that's two meanings of muhsineen, but this verse says, do not destroy yourself. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu said that we felt by us staying at home we'll be improving our own livelihood and what we neglected for so many years. But Allah is informing us in the Quran that when we think of staying back and taking a back seat as far as sacrifice for Allah's deen is concerned, according to Quran, that is destroying ourselves. Allahu Akbar. See how Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, through the barakah of his close companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what understanding he had of deen, he continued imparting the knowledge of deen and explaining to the students of Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and all those after the correct understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times he went in Allah's way, subhanallah. He narrates this incident. This is in Tariq Dimashq as well. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says that when we went and we strove in Allah Ta'ala's path and we reached Constantinople, there was one of the companions of ours who was one of the scholars as well, and he narrated and he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا مِنْ أَوَّلِ النَّهَارِ عُرِضَ عَلَىٰ مَعَارِفِهِ إِذَا أَمْسَى مِنْ أَهْلِ الْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا مِنْ آخِرِ النَّهَارِ عُرِضَ عَلَىٰ مَعَارِفِهِ إِذَا أَصْبَحَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْآخِرَةِ فقال له أبو أيوب انظر ما تقول. The one who does a good deed on any day, the deeds that he had committed and the good deed that he practiced will be presented to his associates and relatives of the Akhirah, who are now in the Akhirah. And he who perpetrates any crime or sin or wrong, his sins will be shown to his associates who are now in the Akhirah. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says, tell me, what do you mean? Is this so? He said, by Allah, it is like that. This is the teaching of deen. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu learned this from that expedition. And he took lesson from there. Let's see, what we do, our deeds are shown to our loved ones and our friends who have passed the stage of this world and are now in the stage of the Akhirah. So he immediately makes dua, Allahumma la tafdahni inda Ubadah ibn Samit wa la inda Sa'd ibn Ubadah fima amiltu ba'dahuma. Oh Allah, don't ever let me go through disgrace by Ubadah ibn Samit and by Sa'd ibn Ubadah, my close associates, regarding my deeds. Allah, don't disgrace me, Allah. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu then says, then this teacher told us that when one becomes the friend of Allah, Allah will conceal his faults and Allah will praise him and accolade him for the good he practices and commits. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do good deeds, and that good report about us go to our forefathers and our relatives who have left this world, and may Allah give them a full share of the rewards that Allah gives us tawfiq to do in this dunya. What we learn from Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu here, being a senior sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the one who presented this teaching on that expedition was his junior. And see, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, he verified and he came to know that this is true and this is knowledge that he didn't know, and he immediately afterwards practices it. Allahu Akbar. And this is something that we need to learn, that despite our age, despite our knowledge, despite of our years in practicing, but there's always times where we can learn more and enhance our knowledge and increase our knowledge of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And this is what we learn from Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. And that's why Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu teaches the Ummah this beautiful statement that history records of him, wherein he would say, "Man arad ay yukthira ilma wa ay yu'zima hilma falyujalis ghayra ashirati." If you want Allah to increase you in knowledge and you want Allah to increase you in akhlaq, character and forbearance, sit with everyone. Don't be a racist in the way you sit with people, that I'll only sit with my people. Allahu Akbar. Sit with everyone from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's so much to learn when we sit with others. We are not saying don't love your relatives. Love your relatives and sit with our relatives and visit our relatives. But sit with others also. Don't confine ourselves that only if a person is of my family I can benefit from. Or only if a person is of a certain nationality I can learn from them or benefit from them. Like that we are depriving ourselves and we are splitting the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The report is in Ibn Majah. And then he explained to Sahaba. Sahabi asked, "O Nabi of Allah, is it wrong for a person to love his people?" Allah's Nabi said, "No." Allah's Nabi said, "But wrong is ayyu'ina qawmahu ala dhulm," where he would stand by his own people even though they are wrong. This is the teaching of Islam. Nay, the verse of Quran, Allah says, stand up for justice even though it might be against your own parents or children or relatives. Be just, be fair. This is the teaching of Islam. And this is what Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu teaches us here. Sit with everyone. And when we sit with others also, like that we'll be uniting this beautiful ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah will show us good in others. And like this, when we will unite the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how we become the beloveds of Allah Ta'ala and the beloveds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the sahabi, Aksam radiallahu anhu, Ya Aksam, Ughzu ma'a ghayri qawmik. When you go in Allah's path, when you strive, go with different nationalities of people. Go with different colors of people. Go with different sorts and kinds of people. يَحْسُنْ خُلُقُكُ وَتَكْرُمْ عَلَىٰ رُفَقَائِكُ. Like that your akhlaq will become beautified and Allah will make you nobler than others. Why? Because you learn how to tolerate this beautiful ummah and we learn how good is everyone in this ummah. Like a person journeys years ago to Nizamuddin to meet Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, the author of Hayatul Sahaba, and he was situated in the Markaz at that time, and this individual, he was an alim, and he wanted to meet Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali to ask him a few questions about the work of Tabligh. And when he comes to meet Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, when he gets there, he becomes ill. So what happens then is, he's taken to one room, he's given ikram, and he's given time, he's given care, food is brought for him, he's assisted in whatever needs he had, and he keeps on insisting that I want to meet Mawlana Yusuf. And this happened for a few days, and each time the same individual comes to feed him, clean up for him, help him, sit with him, you know, sort out whatever he needed. But just one thing, that same person wouldn't respond to him, until he asked someone else that, "I'm looking for Mawlana Yusuf. Who is Mawlana Yusuf? Where is Mawlana Yusuf?" Rahmatullah alayhi. That one khadim tells him that, "You know that person every day, last few days, is in and out here helping you, making your khidmah. He is Mawlana Yusuf, rahmatullah alayhi." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah give us akhlaq. This alim was so touched. He cries by Mawlana saying, "I want to spend my life with you." Mawlana says that Allah has given the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and distributed it throughout the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every person has Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful qualities. I am just one page of the Quran. Every person has qualities from the Quran. You have to go and I have to go to every individual of this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see the good in them. And learn akhlaq from them. And learn character from them. And like that Allah will give us the beautiful qualities. More and more from the beautiful qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you only stay by me, just the little that I have, you will get. But there's so much you have, and every person has. And this is what our deen teaches us. With our two eyes, look at the good in others, and look for our own faults. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One of the amazing teachings of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu that he heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the hadith of Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, wherein sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is also about unity, لا يحل لمسلم. It is incorrect, not permissible, not halal for a Muslim to forsake his Muslim brother for more than 3 days. Then 3 days go by, and then they see each other, he turns his face, and that one turns that his face. More than 3 days is not permissible. The better of the two is the one who then makes salam first. وَخَيْرُهُمَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ. So this hadith teaches us that to break ties with another human being, with another Muslim, is not permissible in Islam. And this is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what we learn? Yes, sometimes we feel the other individual is wrong, and we would be right. But what harm would we get? If how would we be harmed if we had to swallow our pride and anger for Allah's pleasure and give in for Allah and make up ties for Allah's pleasure? How happy will Allah be with us when we lower ourselves and humble ourselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake? And also, among the ahadith that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu narrates is the hadith of istikhara. The dua of istikhara, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu also narrates that dua. But all his life he strove in Allah's path, he strove for Allah's sake, teaching Allah's deen. And even when maut came to him, he was in the path of Allah. He was striving in Allah's path, and this was during the reign, the rulership of the Khilafah of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And the Amir of that contingent of Sahaba and of Tabi'een, the Amir was Yazid bin Muawiyah, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's son. And en route, while they were, you know, aboard the ship, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu got ill and he got sick. So he called for the Sahaba and he said to them, إِذَا قُبِضْتُ, that when I pass away, take me on, take me along further, and take me further right to the furthest point. Don't bury me just anywhere. Take me further with you. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And then he says to them, that when you'll return, tell the people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me أنه لا يدخل النار أحد يقول لا إله إلا الله. That person who learns and says لا إله إلا الله will not enter Jahannam. So he says to his satis, tell the people this, because he wants them to call everyone to لا إله إلا الله. Ulama explain here that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu wanted his body to be carried along further on, because Allah Ta'ala had something special for the ummah to have Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu buried in the lands of Constantinople. There was khair for the ummah there. That was to be the center, the capital of the Muslim world. The Khilafah was supposed to be run from there. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was to be there. That's why Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu wanted to be buried there. And also, so that he has something to say, amongst many things he has to say on the day of Qiyamah, amongst those things, he can also say, oh my Allah, I strove in Allah's path in my lifetime, and after I left this world, my body was also carried in your path. SubhanAllah. This was the jazbah and the love Sahaba radiallahu anhum had, and the passion they had for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. He left this world, he was carried, and he was buried right next to the wall of Constantinople, right there. That morning, the Romans, from the top of the wall, addressed the Muslims. Ya ma'ashar al-Arab, O you Arabs, because they were majority of the Muslims at that time. So, O Muslims, something happened last night. What was it? So they said, a very, very senior Sahabi, رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَكَابِرِ أَصْحَابِ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَقْدَمِهِمْ إِسْلَامًا, those who are among the early Muslims, and from the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had passed away, and we buried him. So they addressed Yazid, the Muslim commander at that time. Who is he? We want to exhume his grave. So Yazid said, he is our Nabi's Sahabi, and he wanted to be buried closest to y'all. وَمَنْ مَاتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ. He didn't want anybody else of those who pass away or those who strive to be closer to y'all than him. He wanted to be buried here. And they said, no, we want to excavate. He said, if you'll do that, then we will punish y'all. and then we will take you all to task. And Yazid said, we'll even demolish your church. They said, no, no, actually we do not want to exhume his grave. What we wanted was just to know who he was, because there was something very, very special, and just so that we honor his grave. And that's what they did. They showed a lot of honor to the grave of Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In Bidayah wa Nihayah, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that the Christians after that showed a lot of respect there. And they would visit the grave of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. And when there was need for rain, they would ask Allah for rain through Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu whenever there was drought. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad bin al-Hasan al-Shaybani rahimahullah, in his famous kitab al-Sir al-Kabir, mentions an incident that at first Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu didn't want to come out in the expedition under Yazid. But then he felt bad afterwards. And there was another expedition that he went out under the commander Yazid, the son of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And on that expedition, in that expedition, it was the year 50 Hijri, Sanat 50 of the Hijrah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was very ill. So Yazid comes to visit him. And he asked him, O Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I do anything for you? Any khidmah can I make of you? Alaka haja? He says, yes. When I pass away, make my ghusl, make my kafan, and carry me along, hatta ta'tu bilad al-adu, until you reach the lands of the enemy. As long as it's not difficult for the believers, take me to the furthest point, and then you tell them, bury me there. Subhanallah, what was the inspiration of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, and what Allah had willed, for the ummah to benefit. That Sahaba radiallahu anhum are buried in the four corners of the world. That Allah Ta'ala's special mercies continue to come on the ummah and descend on the ummah through the barakah of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was very old when he left this world. But look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement. That لَتُفْتَحَنَّ الْقُسْطَنْطِينِيَّةِ That definitely Constantinople will be conquered. فَلَنَعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا How wonderful is the Amir of that army. وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشِ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشِ And how wonderful is that army that will be alongside with that Amir. 856 years later, there was a youngster by the name of Muhammad, the son of Murad Khan, rahimahullah. And this young Muhammad, from a tender age, his father worried about his ilm and worried about his understanding of Islam and understanding of Sharia. He made mashura with the ulama that who would teach my child? Who would teach my child? And few ulama were sent, but the child wouldn't listen. Then he sent an alim who would be able to mix between softness and strictness. And that was none other than Mullah al-Qurani rahimahullah ta'ala. His ustad comes to teach him. The child didn't want to listen. He says, I will teach you with my stick then. And then he learned the Quran in a very short span. And with the Quran afterward, there were many asatidah who would teach him. Like Aq Shamsuddin rahimahullah. He learned hadith, he learned fiqh, he learned history, tariq. He learned lugha, the Arabic language, the Persian language, the Turkish language. He learned geography. He learned horse riding, furusiya. His ustad imbibed in him the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and explained to him more specifically when explaining and teaching him geography that how did Allah's Nabi speak of this hadith. Imagine more than 800 years prior to this. And his ustad from a tender age of maktab from that time prepared him and taught him that you are going to make this khidmat of Islam. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, this impregnable city that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied, it is you who is going to fulfill that prophecy of Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you are going to win Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's du'as. And where did he get this inspiration from? From his tender age, from his ustad. Now his father strove in Allah's path and made jihad for so many years. Murad Khan rahimahullah. But now he felt that his heart was getting hard and he wanted to spend time in seclusion and in ta'alluq. Even though his life was in ibadah, in serving humanity and bringing lands to Islam and showing justice to humanity, even non-Muslims who lived under the Ottoman Empire were very, very happy because of their justice and their dealings and their fair practices. Even the inception of this dynasty was Uthman rahimahullah. He was a judge in the initial stages, and he was an alim as well. His ustad was Sheikh Idlibi rahimahullah. Adab Ali or Idlibi rahimahullah ta'ala. But one day, as he was a scholar, and people would come to him to get their issues solved, a Christian and a Muslim are brought to him in his court one day. And when he hears the entire case, he passes decision that the Christian is on the right. When hearing the case, he passes decision that the Christian is on the right. After that, he asks him, that, oh, respected leader, that just to ask your, just to find out from you, I am not of your faith, and you pass decision that I win the case. How come? He says, my Allah who created us in the Quran instructs us, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. That, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you judge between mankind, be just in your judge, irrespective of people's race, religion, or nationality, or size. Allah give us tawfiq. And this is how the Ottomans spread Islam, and many of the people of Christianity came into Islam because of their just teachings and practices. And because they ruled their lands next to the Byzantine Empire, and as they would penetrate into these lands, many Christians would call them in to come and take over because of the Ottomans' just method of rule. So likewise, Murad now, after many years of sacrifice, and now there was a truce between the Ottomans and the Byzantinians, he went now into seclusion, and he appointed his son, despite his son's tender age of only 16. Now his son takes over, and now there was a huge cry and a hue of joy, cry in the ministry of Murad. But Murad relied on his son. But now, because the Christians were too happy and they broke their pledges with the Ottomans that would last for 10 years, but they broke that agreement and they were coming for Muslim lands. Now, because Muhammad rahimahullah needed his father's guidance, so he calls his father out of seclusion, and then he says, oh my father, come back and take your post. His father responds that, son, you can handle it, and I'm now devoting all myself to ta'alluq and dhikr. And he then insists on his father, saying, oh my father, if you are the khalifa or the sultan, come and take your post. And if I am the sultan, I instruct you to come and lead this army. And Sultan Murad comes back and takes this post, and he again continues striving in Allah's way for another 6 years, and then he becomes shaheed in the path of Allah. And then at the age of 22, Sultan Muhammad rahimahullah, the young Muhammad, the alim, the scholar, he now becomes the sultan of the Ottomans. And when he takes over, Allah Ta'ala guided him with this zeal to win this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regard to conquering Constantinople. He wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua, and he wanted to win this achievement of Islam, because like many, many rulers before him tried, and Muhammad rahimahullah realized that if he's going to win this dua and this prophecy in his favor, he has to correct the a'mal of the ummah. So first he sent ulama to work on the people like he himself did so. Until the time, months and few years went by, until he himself went in and would disguise himself and go into the marketplace to see the dealings of the people. He one day goes into the market and he makes as though he wants to purchase something to test the iman, the level of the iman of the people in the market. And he asks for butter, honey and cheese. The shopkeeper says, respected brother, would you buy or purchase the honey from me and take the butter and cheese from my neighbor? At least then he would also be making his first sale for the day. And he did so happily. And when he goes to the next shopkeeper and he does the same, please purchase the butter from me and the milk from my neighbor. And like that, all of us can earn some profit. Muhammad rahimahullah returned to his shura explaining this, and then he said that leave just Constantinople. If the adl and the deen of the Muslims and the ummah is like this in the market, That means that is the barakah of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In Umar radiallahu anhu's time, we learn Sahaba's statement that Sahaba was such, the suq of the Muslims was like the masjid. Like, well, what is meant by that? Suqul Muslimin ka musallal musallin. What is meant by that is when the ummah, like the ummah obeys Allah's commands in the masjid, Sahaba would also obey Allah's commands in the marketplace also. And the same consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in the marketplace and in the masjid. That's why the reward of dhikrullah is so much in the market. In the hadith of Tirmidhi, Umar radiallahu anhu reports, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one recites the fourth kalima one time in the market, La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu, yuhyi wa yumit, wa huwa hayyun la yamut, biyadihi al-khayr, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. One time in the market, Allah rewards a person with 1,000,000 good deeds, alf alf hasana, muhiyat anhu, wiped out, alf alf sayyi'ah, 1,000,000 sins, raised 1,000,000 ranks, and Allah constructs for him a palace in Jannah, in Tirmidhi. Why so much of rewards? Because generally a person neglects the orders of Allah in the market. So this encouragement is, in spite of shaitan's efforts for him to forget Allah, he's still conscious of Allah, the reward is much more. But imagine this time where Muhammad rahimahullah works on his people, and that care and that love and that compassion and feeling for others was there in the market. He says Allah will give us not only Constantinople, Allah will give us the whole dunya if we uphold Allah's orders like this. This was the first step. Now he realized the ummah is ready, and now he made his move towards Constantinople.
So Muhammad Fatih rahimahullah, after his father abdicated for him the first time, and now this time also, when his father had passed away and become shaheed, he now prepared his people, and after he prepared the ummah, and he sent ulama, because he had this mizaj that he learned and inherited from the Ottoman rulers before him, to respect the ulama and love the ulama. And he would call ulama and invite them and make ikram of them and show them respect and learn from them, because he was a scholar himself. And now he had to make his move towards Constantinople. So there was discussions of between him and Constantine, but Constantine never expected that Muhammad rahimahullah would have such a far-sighted mindset and have such great sacrifices. He never expected Muhammad rahimahullah to even consider coming to conquer Constantinople. Because the last time it happened was because this city was so impregnable that in history it was attempted 36 times. And up till then, this city is standing for approximately more than 1,000 years, 300 years before the advent of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is in the 850s Hijri. So it was not expected. Even Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's time, few times the Sahaba radiallahu anhum tried wanting the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in the Ottoman, then the Banu Umayyah under Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, then the Banu Abbas tried a few times, and the Ottomans tried under Bayezid rahimahullah. And he was sieging, but because of internal trouble from Taimur Ling, they had to retreat. And then there was a lot of trouble for the Ottomans at that time, but alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala helped them repair, and then they built up again. And now Muhammad Fatih rahimahullah prepared his surroundings, and he went forward, and he built another fortress on the other side of the Bosphorus. You know, see, because the city Constantinople, half is in Asia and the other half is in Europe. So he constructed this fort. And when he asked his engineers, what do you all feel? How long will it take us? They said approximately a year. He said, never. Can never be so. Let's put it up and we have 4 months. And in this period of 4 months, he himself, rahimahullah, labored and, you know, supervised. And he constructed this entire fortress, a huge fortress under his own planning that you know, denotes his intellect and wisdom. And imagine, he constructed this fort on the sketch of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name, on the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how he constructed this fort. Look at that, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mim ha, mim dal, Muhammad. This is how he constructed this fort, the fort, as he was on his way. So inshallah, as they were sieging, they were always reminded of the life of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu and the other Sahaba who sacrificed to give their lives for the hidayat of mankind. And he himself would encourage his men. And imagine if Allah confers this blessing upon us. What a ni'mah it will be. We'll be winning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. Even during the siege, he was reminding them of this. So inshallah from here, we will discuss one more segment on this city, this beautiful city, because it is linked to the great Sahabi Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Allah give us tawfiq to understand our Islam, to understand our deen, and to understand what changes Sahaba radiallahu anhum brought to the world. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.